what a great God we have, and what a wonderful country He's given us to be citizens of. I know that you have expressed your thanks to God over this weekend for being a citizen of the land of the free and the brave, and we have wonderful opportunities as we continue not only through the rest of this week, but also as we continue through the rest of this year. And our country needs our prayers and our support in these days that are filled with all kinds of needs, not only in this nation, but around the world. Well, I invite you right now to join me in a new sermon series that I'm beginning this morning out of the book of Psalms. And you know how you find the book of Psalms. You close it like this, put your fingers in the middle of the Bible, open it up, and I turn to Proverbs again. So if you did that, take a left-hand turn, go back to the book of Psalms, and we're looking at the longest chapter in the Bible. And you remember from last Sunday what the longest chapter in the Bible is. It's only two books away from the shortest chapter in the Bible. That's Psalm 117, and we're studying Psalm 119, and will for several weeks now as we look together at this wonderful book about the book. And that's what Psalm 119 is all about, and that's why I've entitled this sermon series, Thy Word. It is a word that is used over and over again to describe that book that you hold in your hands, the Word of God. And we see that term used many times in Psalm 119. And as you've already seen in your worship pages, I'm talking to you today about the subject of happiness. And that's what this psalm and its first eight verses are all about. As a matter of fact, if you'll look at the very first word in the very first verse of Psalm 119, you will see the word blessed. Literally, that word means happy. In the original language of the Bible, which is Hebrew in this case, this word is actually in the plural form. Now, it's hard for us to translate that plural Hebrew word into our English language. The best way we could do it is to say happy exclamation point, happy exclamation point. And that's really what is being said in this word blessed. And so we want to find out how we can be happy. Some of you have kind of come into this building down in the dumps today. You're a little bit depressed. You're a little bit despondent. And I want us to see how we can leave this building today transformed with the joy of God in our hearts. As a matter of fact, that word blessed, which is translated really happy, happy exclamation point, speaks of an overflowing kind of joy. And so you can be spilling over with joy unspeakable before this morning is over if you will follow the psalmist's prescription for happiness in the first eight verses of Psalm 119. And so if you have your Bible open to Psalm 119, verse 1, would you give me a loud, hearty amen? Amen. Wonderful. Well, let's look at the first ingredient in happiness from verse number 1. Happiness begins with H. Holiness. Looking there every eye in verse 1, it says, blessed are the undefiled. Your copy of God's Word might use the word blameless. Blessed are those who are undefiled or blameless. Actually, from the original language of the Bible, that word is the expression, blessed is the person who is kept from evil. Blessed is the person who is holy. And so, holiness leads to happiness. And that's a good reminder on this Independence Day weekend, because all over this country, behind pulpits like the one that I am preaching to you from, there are men of God who are preaching from Psalm 33 and verse 12, which says, and I quote, blessed or happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I'll just be honest with you. In my 52 years of life on this earth, I don't think I ever remember a time when our nation has been more unhappy. Do you? It's really kind of depressing when you look at the emotional climate within this nation that we love. And the reason that we're not blessed, the reason that we're not happy, is because we have not fulfilled Psalm 33, verse 12, and that is, God is not our Lord. We have replaced God with other false gods in many circles in this nation that we love so much. And that's the reason that we're not blessed. That's the reason that we are not happy. Rick Warren said, and I quote, that God is more interested in your holiness than your happiness. And I understand what Pastor Rick is saying there, but I don't totally agree with that statement. I know that he is saying that God is more interested in your character than he is your comfort, but I believe that God is interested in our happiness. Why else would he begin the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, with that word happy? God wants you to be happy, but the way to be happy is to be holy, to be blameless, to be undefiled, to be kept from evil. And so this is the first ingredient in happiness. H, holiness. Many of us, in fact, our entire nation, needs to repent and to return to holiness, that attribute and that characteristic that God wants for each and every one of us. Well, it continues on here as we unpack these first eight verses of Psalm 119, and we see another important word, and that is that happiness not only consists of H, holiness, but A, adherence. And I want you to look on in verse 2 because I want to highlight a word to you here in the first part of verse 2. Blessed, if you didn't get the first time in verse 1, he just says it again. Blessed, first word of verse 2. In other words, happy, happy. Blessed are those who keep. Now, I've underlined that word keep in my copy of God's Word. You might be reading from a translation that uses the word observe. Blessed are those who keep or observe, or to use the term that I'm using with you this morning, those who adhere to his testimonies. And I know some of you are reading from a translation that does not render that word testimonies. It renders it as the word statutes. It is interesting at this point to point out to you that throughout Psalm 119, there are many synonyms that are used for this blessed book that we hold in our hands today. Just two of those terms we already see here in verses 1 and 2. It has been called the law of the Lord in verse number 1. In Psalm 119, we see that that term is used no less than 25 times to describe this book that you hold in your hands today. That word testimonies in verse 2 is not only used here in verse 2, but it's used 14 more times to describe this book that you hold in your hands as the Word of God. Also in verse 3, we see the expression his ways. That is another synonym for the Bible, the Word of God. The word precepts in verse 4 is used in Psalm 119 21 times. Also the word statutes in verse 5 is used 21 times in Psalm 119. The word commandments in verse 6, just another synonym to talk about that book that you hold in your hand, is used 22 times in Psalm 119. Another important synonym for the Bible, the Word of God, in verse 7 is righteous judgments. It is used 23 times in Psalm 119. And then in other places in Psalm 119, we see the term word with the capital W used to describe this book that we hold in our hands. That term word is used 23 times in Psalm 119, and thus the sermon series title, Thy Word. And as a matter of fact, it is interesting to look at all 176 verses in Psalm 119 and see that one of these synonyms describing this book that you hold in your hand is used in every verse, every one of those 176 verses except three verses. Verse 84, verse 121, and verse 122. And what the psalmist is saying here in verse 2, you can call it whatever you want. You can use whatever synonym you want. You can call it the law of the Lord. You can call it his testimonies. You can call it his statutes. You can call it the word. You can call it his ways. But this book right here is to be adhered to. It is to be kept. It is to be observed. You see, it's more than just knowing about what the Word of God says. It's more than giving mental assent to what the law of the Lord is, but it is to keep and adhere to those standards that God clearly lays out before us. That is the way to happiness. And that's why many people have a false conception about why God gave us the Ten Commandments in the first place. Many people think, well, he just gave us the Ten Commandments to be a cosmic killjoy because no one can keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. But I would say that God gave us the Ten Commandments so that we would be happy, because God knew that if we would keep those Ten Commandments, we would live a blessed and happy life. And that's the reason so many of you are unhappy today. I mean, you're already ready for the invitation. The reason you're not happy is because you are not living a holy life. And the reason that you're not blessed and the reason that you're not happy is you know about the Word of God, but you have no desire, no passion in your heart to keep what the Word of God says. My friend, the only way to be blessed, the only way to be happy is to be holy and to adhere to what God's Word has to say. But not just this. Let's go on unpacking verse 2. I left off reading in the middle of verse 2 because I see another important ingredient to happiness there, and that is P, our pursuits. We are to pursue something or someone according to verse 2. Just read all of verse 2 for me again. It says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies. There's the adherence part. Now, here is the pursuit part. Who seek him with the whole hearts. You see, when we look at the first part of verse 2, it's kind of a maintenance mentality. Here's the Word of God. Here's God's holy and righteous standard. I am to adhere to it. I am to keep it. I am to maintain it. But the psalmist goes on in the rest of verse 2 and says, it's more than having a maintenance mentality toward this Word. It's having a proactive pursuit of God Himself. And that's the reason so many of us are not happy, is because we are not seeking Him. We are not pursuing Him with all of our hearts. We're not doing what Jeremiah said we should do in Jeremiah 29:13. And I quote, he says, and you shall seek me. God speaks here. You shall seek me. It almost sounds exactly like the last part of verse 2. You shall seek me and find me. You shall search me with how? All of your heart. Almost an exact quote of the last part of verse 2. I am to pursue him. The Apostle Paul would add a little bit more to that as he mentored young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22, when he told us that we should flee youthful lusts and said we should pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with all those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. It is interesting that Paul mentions that this should be done with a pure heart. Reminds us of the expression here in Psalm 119 verse 2 that my seeking Him, my pursuing Him should be with all of my heart. And that's the reason so many of you are not happy. You're not pursuing God with all of your heart. Some of you just seek Him on Sunday morning. And so your pursuit is not even half-hearted. Your pursuit is one day out of the week-hearted. You're one-seventh-hearted toward the things of God. And that's why you don't have a full and happy and joyous heart today. Many of us are half-hearted in our pursuit of God. Many of you know the name Francis Chan. Francis Chan is a popular preacher today, also a popular author. Many of you have read his books. As a matter of fact, Francis preached to the Southern Baptist Pastors Conference in Orlando just last summer, and it was such a blessing to hear from him. But you might not know that Francis Chan also is the author of children's books. And I hold one of the children's books that Francis Chan has recently authored. I was actually exposed to this book by our minister of children, Brenda Clifton, and it's entitled Halfway Herbert. And I think I'm preaching to a lot of Halfway Herberts today. Let me just read to you a little bit about Halfway Herbert. Halfway Hallweg, or Herbert Hallweg, was 7.5 years old, 3.5 feet tall, 55.5 pounds heavy. He had lots of friends, but none of them called him Herbert. Instead, everyone called him Halfway Herbert. Sadly, it was because Herbert did everything halfway. Halfway Herbert never put his whole heart into anything. He never tried. Something was missing in Halfway Herbert's. When Herbert brushed his teeth, he started at the top, but he was too lazy to finish the bottom. He spent lots of time in the dentist's office. Herbert never finished his meals, and so he was always hungry halfway between lunch and dinner. He woke up hungry halfway through the night. Herbert was tired of getting only half of the food and rest that he needed. And when Herbert played soccer, he listened to only half of what his coach told him. He really tried during only half of the game. Herbert would have had more happiness if he had played with his whole heart. His dad said to Herbert, "Jesus doesn't want us to love him halfway. God doesn't want us to live out just half of our hearts. He tells us this in the Bible." Herbert cried, "But I've never been able to do things all the way." His dad said, "God knows that none of us can love him all the way by ourselves. So he gave us a friend called the Holy Spirit to help us live out with our whole hearts." Herbert's dad said, "When we decide to follow Jesus all the way, God's Spirit fills up our hearts and helps us to be happy." A children's book, but could well apply to many adults I see here today, many teenagers I see here today. Yeah, halfway Herbert could be halfway Hal, or halfway Hannah, or halfway Harry. You see, the reason you're not happy today is because you're living and pursuing God with only half of your heart. And you'll never know joy unspeakable until you make it your consuming passion in life to seek Him and pursue Him with all of your heart. Now watch this. Watch this. If I'm going to pursue Him and search for Him with all of my heart, I've got to be on the right path. And that's how happiness continues. You see, happiness not only consists of H, holiness, A, adherence, and P, pursuit, but I've got to be on the right P, path. And that's what verse number 3 says. You have your Bible open there. Look at it, Psalm 119, verse 3. It says, they, who's they? These people that are blessed. These people that are happy. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. They are following His path. They're following His route in life. And the problem with many of us today is we have demarcated our own paths that we want to follow. The writer of Hebrews says that He has drawn out the course before us and that we should follow that course that He has drawn out before us. But here's what a lot of us have done. A lot of us have gotten out the chalk machine and we've drawn our own lane that we want to run in, our own lane that we want to pursue God in, our own agenda that we want to follow, and that will never work in a million years. You see, a lot of us want to do it our way instead of His way. We've got to be on His path. This is what Jeremiah the prophet said in Jeremiah 6:16, and I quote, he says, "Ask for the old paths where the good way is. Walk in it, then you will find rest for your souls." That's what the Apostle Paul would say. It's also what Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, and I quote, Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." You want to know the reason you're not happy today? You want to know the reason that you're not blessed today? That's because you've chosen the wrong path. You've chosen your own path, your own idea of where you ought to go and how you ought to get there. And Jesus made it clear that that way is broad, that that gate is wide, and the majority of people in this earth are going their own way. And that way leads to not only unhappiness, but it leads to destruction. My friend, if you want to be happy, you need to go through the narrow gates, through the narrow way, through the narrow path, because that's the only way you'll be blessed. That's the only way you'll be happy. But this prescription for happiness continues on there in verse 4. And when we see that it continues with an imperative, an I imperative. Look at it there in verse number 4. I want to point out to you a very important word here. I've underlined it in my copy of God's Word. The psalmist is speaking to God and says, "You have commanded." I've underlined that word commanded. "You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently." That word commanded is not an option. It is not a suggestion. It is an imperative. It is a mandate. It is an injunction that God has placed upon the believer's life. He is not giving us an option about this. He has said to the light that it should come out of darkness. And so when you walk out in the day today and in the night this evening, you will see the sun, the moon, and the stars are all obeying His command. And so should we obey His command. Interesting word also there in verse number 4 is the word precepts. The only time that word precepts is used in all of the Bible is right here in the book of Psalms. It is the idea of taking charge. God has said that I have made a commandment here. As some of you have it in your copy of God's Word, He is laying it down. Have you ever used the expression, "Man, He laid down the law to them"? Well, man, that's an imperative in the life of the believer. He's not giving you any choice about it. He is laying down the law, and He has made His precept, which is another way of saying He's taking charge of your life. He has mandated an injunction in your life. And the reason you're not happy is because you're resisting that imperative, that command that He has laid down for you as His follower. That's what happiness is all about. But not just this. We go on unpacking in verses 5 and 6. And we see that happiness also involves in a navigator. The right navigator. Looking there in verse 5, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, and I realize most of you aren't, but I want to point out to you the way that the original language renders this word here in verse 5. It says, "Oh, that my ways were directed." And I realize most of you don't have that word in your translation of God's Word, because in the Hebrew is the word kun, and it means to be directed aright. And when we're directed aright, then our way is steadfast. And that's the word that many of you have in your copy of God's Word. It is steadfast, or it is established. And friend, all of us need the right navigator to know how we should go about this life. When Stape graduated from high school, Amy and I gave him a graduation gift. It was one of these little navigation systems that you can put in your car, and it tells you where you ought to go and shows you what the speed limit is on the road that you're driving on. It tells you how fast you're going. It'll even speak to you if you don't turn off the volume. And it'll tell you which turn to make and how far down the road you ought to expect that turn to be. And, we went up to Camp Hawkins this last week to be with our senior adults. Many of our senior adults up there working in that home that is part of our Georgia Baptist Children's Home. And I was so proud of those senior adults up there cooking meals, doing laundry, folding clothes, helping these young people out there. They are pursuing God with all of their heart. It blessed me so much. And as we were getting ready to leave Noonan to drive up to Camp Hawkins in the Georgia Mountains, Amy suggested that we borrow Stape's GPS, his little navigation system there, and hook it up to the car. And so we did, and we were going up that way, and the lady was telling us what turns to make and how far it was to go. And I was just thinking, all this is unnecessary. We'd already map-quested how to get there. We already had a map out there in front of us. And lo and behold, that navigation system came in very handy as we came down to the last mile or so of our trip. We were supposed to turn left on a certain street. We were going down this four-lane highway, and the navigation lady said, "Turn left." And I said, "Where? There's not even a street to turn left on. And there's no street sign to turn left on." And there was no street sign. And so we did what she said. We turned left onto this unnamed, nondescript road, and it was exactly the right road that we should have gone down on. When I got there to Camp Hawkins, I told Brother Jerry about that, and I said, did you make that right turn? And he said, no, I didn't. He didn't take our TomTom from the church office, and so he went on, and he'd still be driving through North Carolina right now if someone didn't realize that he didn't make the right turn. And he was a little bit red-faced when he told me about this, a little bit embarrassed, which gets me into verse 6. You see, I've got to have the right navigator. I've got to be directed and steadfast on the right way, or verse 6 is going to be true about me. Look at there in verse 6. Then I will not be ashamed. A lot of us have to hang our heads in shame and embarrassment because we've chosen to be our own navigator. We've chosen to follow our own way instead of following God's word as our navigator in life. This is the only way to happiness. Happiness is from H, holiness. A, adherence. P, pursuit of Him with all of our heart. Doing it on P, the right path. Understanding that this is His imperative, His commandment for my life. Also knowing that this book will navigate me through the courses of life. But happiness does not end there. We need to go on into verse number 7 and see there in the first part of verse 7 that happiness also involves E, exaltation. Well, that's what the psalmist is doing here in verse 7 when he says, I will praise you with uprightness of heart. What is he saying here? Man, I'm going to exalt you, God. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to thank you with everything that is in me. I'm going to adore you with all of my life. Happiness is a part of exaltation. Man, when you walk into this church house, you ought to be ready to praise God. You ought to be ready to lift up His matchless name. And the reason so many of us leave this church house unhappy, unjoyous, is because we've not worshiped Him. We've had our eyes on all the wrong things instead of having our eyes on Him. I'll guarantee you, the psalmist had his eyes on God. As a matter of fact, I've already mentioned to you that there are 176 verses in Psalm 119. Do you want to know how many of those 176 verses either mentions God or refers to God? How about this? All 176 verses in Psalm 119 either mention God by name or refer to Him. You see, the total object of the psalmist's praise was the Lord God. And friend, Jesus ought to be on every verse of your life. If the psalmist could put Him on every one of the 176 verses in Psalm 119, He ought to be on every verse and chapter of your life. And if He's not, if you're not praising Him, you will be unhappy. It is amazing what praising can do. I don't worry when things go wrong. Jesus fills my heart with a song. It's amazing what praising can do. It can rearrange the despondent spirit and lift them up to the very portals of heaven. This is what the psalmist did. He exalted God. But before we leave verse 7, let's notice something else important about happiness. It is S, study. When did the psalmist exalt God? When did he praise God? We'll just unpack all of verse 7. He says, I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When? When I learn. I've underlined that word learn. When I learn your righteous judgments, I'm going to be a student of this book right here. I'm going to learn everything I can learn about this book right here. That's why Sunday school is so important. Everyone in this building, everyone watching by TV or internet or listening to me by radio, every one of you needs to be in a Sunday school class studying this book. This is your textbook. And you'll never get to the point that you know everything about this book. Every time I open it up, I learned something new. You could never in an entire lifespan plumb the depths of God's Word. That's why Paul said to Timothy, study to show yourself approved. Oh, friend, we need to be students of God's Word. We never stop learning. Which leads us to the final ingredient of happiness, according to verse 8. And it's S, security. But when you read verse 8, it kind of sounds like the psalmist is a little bit insecure, doesn't it? He says there, I will keep your statutes. And then he says this, oh, do not forsake me utterly. Those are the words of a man that's having security issues. And it's precisely at this point that I need to say to you and me that we ought to thank God every day that we live on the New Testament side of the cross. You know, there's a lot of debate about who wrote Psalm 119. A lot of people are under the mistaken notion that King David wrote all the Psalms. That's not true. There are many human authors of the book of Psalms. The Holy Spirit inspired them, and we'll get into this as we go through this sermon series. I'll tell you some of those people who are believed to be the human author of Psalm 119, but it wasn't David. But David could have very well written verse number 8 because it describes him after his sin with Bathsheba. David had not adhered to the seventh commandment, hadn't he? He had not kept or observed the seventh commandment. And that's why he wrote in Psalm 51, verses 10 through 13, as he was making his confession before God about the sin that he had committed, not adhering to God's word, he said, oh God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Those are the words of an insecure man. Oh God, don't forsake me. That's why I said you ought to thank God every day you live on the New Testament side of the cross. Because the way everyone felt under the old covenant was insecure. Because no one could keep the commandments perfectly. They worried about whether God was going to forsake them or not. But on the New Testament side of the cross, we know that Jesus said in John 10:28, I give you eternal life. How long is eternal? Forever. Not till you mess up, not till you rip your britches, not till you break one of the commandments. Eternal life is forever. He said in John 10:28, I give them eternal life and no one is going to snatch them from my hand. Well, you talk about security. When Jesus offers out his nail-scarred hand and we as a saved believer go into the safety and security of his hand, he says, watch this, no one, nobody is going to take you out of my hand. That is the security that we have when the living word takes up residence in our lives. Which leads me to the most important question I could ask you this morning. Does he, the living word, live in your heart? Have you come to that place in your life where you have asked him to be your chairman, to be your boss, to be your Lord, to be your master? Have you come to that place where you've surrendered, as Emma did just a few days ago and was baptized today, where you've said, God, I want you to be my Savior and my Lord? Have you come to that place in your life? If you haven't, you'll never have security, much less happiness and blessedness. But if you want to walk out of this building today with a feeling of security, with a feeling of happiness, with a feeling of blessedness, you'll surrender yourself to him in his statutes, judgments, word, way, law, whatever you want to call it. The psalmist called it all kinds of things in Psalm 119. But as you surrender yourself to him and to his word, he will give you happiness and joy unspeakable. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Are you happy today? The person sitting next to you can answer that question maybe better than you. They know you're unhappy. They know you're down in the dumps. Well, maybe the reason you're unhappy today is because God's word does not have the place of primacy and importance that it ought to have in your life. It might be because you are not living a holy life. There's all kinds of dirt and sin and rebellion in your life. No wonder you're not happy. It's because you're not adhering to God's command. It's because you're not pursuing Him with your whole heart. Yeah, you pursue Him on Sunday morning, give yourself a pat on the back, but not Monday through Saturday. You're not even half-hearted. You're not even one-fifth hearted. That's the reason you're not happy. The reason you're not happy is because you're following your own path. You're doing it your own way instead of following His path and His way. The reason you're not happy is you're not following His imperative on your life. He's not your navigator. You're not praising Him and exalting Him. You're not studying His word. And you're not submitting to His lordship in your life. You can do that right now. You can walk out of this building transformed. So, Father, in this moment, I pray for that soul who has never trusted You as their Lord and as their Savior. I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Lord God, I pray also for those of us who know You but are still struggling with happiness and joy. I pray for those who have seen from Your word today the reason that they're down in the dumps. I pray that they would be revived and renewed in their commitment to You and Your word. Father, as You do all these things for us, we'll give You the praise for it. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.